This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome back, folks. It's Friday, April 12th, 2024. We have a pretty good bit today. The State House passed a bill to define male and female, the latest on Joe Biden in the ballot. A sheriff's getting out of jail. We'll go deeper on that ransomware attack in Birmingham that was kept quiet for a while. And one of our cities might have its record broken for most expensive home sale. I'm Mike Morgan, and we're down in Alabama. The Alabama House of Representatives passed a bill that defines the terms male, female, boy, and girl, reports AL.com's Sarah White's Coda Check. Representative Susan DuBose, a Hoover Republican, sponsored the bill and said it'll clarify the terms for state courts and protect women's spaces such as locker rooms and dorms. Opponents say it'll result in forcing trans men into women's spaces after they've taken testosterone for years. The bill states there are only two sexes, and that female and male bodies are characterized by whether they produce or would have produced ova or sperm, respectively. In the Senate, the bill has already cleared committee and now awaits the full Senate. The Alabama Democratic Party says it'll ask for a provisional certification of the nominations of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. But Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen indicated they won't get it, reports AL.com's Mike Kaysen. The provisional certification, according to the party, will be submitted before the Democratic National Convention in an effort to make the state's deadline to get Biden and Harris on the ballot. A party attorney sent a letter to Allen alerting him that the Democrats will be using the same method Republicans did in 2020 when both parties' conventions came after the deadline, including the Republicans' nomination of Donald Trump. Republican John Merrill was Alabama's Secretary of State at the time, but current Secretary of State Allen, also a Republican, responded to the letter by saying he doesn't plan to allow provisional certifications. Quote, "I took an oath to uphold Alabama law, and that is what I'm going to do. My office will accept all certifications that comply with Alabama Code Section 17-14-31B. That statute does not provide for provisional certifications or any other exceptions," end quote. So Democrats have introduced identical bills in the state's Senate and House of Representatives that would push the certification deadline to after the Democratic National Convention. Senate President Pro Tem Greg Reed, a Jasper Republican, said he hasn't read the bill yet, but that, quote, "my attitude would be trying to be accommodating if we can in regards to a topic that's important for everyone across the board." Former Limestone County Sheriff Mike Blakely is getting out of jail, reports AL.com's Savannah Tryons Fernandez. He won parole by a 2-to-1 vote from the state's parole board, which has been notably tight with granting parole over recent months. Board Chair Lee Gwaltney voted against paroling Blakely. Blakely was locked up for felony theft and abuse of power. The crimes involved taking no-interest loans from inmates' money and depositing $4,000 of campaign money into a personal account. Now, he's served a little more than a year of a 3-year sentence. Many supporters were present or wrote letters on behalf of Blakely, including state GOP Chairman John Wall, who is his neighbor. Blakely served as Limestone County Sheriff for 38 years. A $115 million sawmill is coming to Coosa County, reports AL.com's William Thornton. Two Rivers Lumber Company of Demopolis is building a mill that it says will bring 130 jobs to Kellyton. Now, that's a little northwest of Alexander City. To support the project, the Lake Martin Area Industrial Development Authority donated 110 acres of land valued at $2.2 million. The state's workforce agency will also be helping Two Rivers. Let's take a quick break to keep the lights on, and then reporter Joseph D. Bryant is going to tell us more about that ransomware attack on the city of Birmingham. The city's been a little coy on the subject, but we have some clips from a city meeting that an employee shared with us. See y'all on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Thanks for coming back. Joseph D. Bryant's going to talk about the city of Birmingham's hack and share some audio from a meeting Mayor Randall Woodfin had with employees, courtesy of one of those employees.
On Wednesday, Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin and his staff met with city employees to address a computer hack that continues to wreak havoc on operations.
On Wednesday, March 6th, the city observed unexpected activity within our network that disrupted the operability of certain computer systems.
For weeks, the city had not acknowledged that the network disruption was actually a hack on its systems, which had affected some employees' pay and raised workers' concerns about their personal information.
Upon learning of the unexpected activity, we took steps to confirm the security of our network. We're working to restore full functionality to our systems as soon as possible.
City officials said that most of the city staff have been paid on time and accurately, but they acknowledge that some employees have been underpaid and the city is working to provide relief.
We acknowledge you have bills, you have a family. We even acknowledge some of you all have bills on AutoDraft. And so we don't take light of the situation if and when your pay is not the number reflected. And for that, we sincerely apologize.
The city did not provide a timeline for when the computer issue may be resolved, and Woodfin and city leaders took a drubbing as some employees criticized Woodfin's slow communication about the computer crisis and what it meant to them. The city attributed their lack of communication to the advice of third-party specialists that deal with computer hacking. Here's Woodfin's chief of staff, Cedric Sparks.
We are relying on the expertise of our third-party specialists who do this every single day. So to the question about whether or not we can do this every pay period, if we get the green light from our third-party specialists, know that the mayor's desire is to be as transparent as possible. However, we are in uncharted territory as a city, and we're relying on balancing the mayor's desire to maintain our core values, which he has been adamant about with our third-party specialists, up against our specialists who do this, saying to us, please only communicate with the employees at our direction to ensure that we have time to analyze all results and ensure that the systems are secure.
Sparks repeatedly stressed that the city has not identified any cases of identity theft.
To date, the city of Birmingham is not aware of any cases of identity theft and fraud related to the network disruption at this time.
Sparks also urged employees against spreading rumors related to the network disruption and tried to direct employee anger toward the hackers, not the mayor's administration.
So we need for our employee group to rally around the fact that the villain out there are the people who decided to use their expertise to harm us and steal our info. All right. It's not the employees and the staff that are working to protect us. So as an employee group, we have to reject all of the narratives about what has and hasn't happened.
We will continue to monitor this story as it develops. For the latest, head to our website. This is Joseph D. Bryant.
Hey, appreciate it, Joseph. I wanted to share one more story with you all before we call it a week here. A mansion is for sale, and if it gets close to its asking price, it'll double the record for the most expensive home ever purchased in Dothan, reports AL.com's Warren Kulo. The asking price? $4.979 million. Now, here's some details for all of you sitting on an extra $5 million. There's 10,000 square feet of living space for you to fill up with all your stuff. There's a big movie theater, an indoor golf simulator, and a 500-bottle wine cellar. Now, one of the bathrooms has a TV hidden behind a mirror, just in case nature calls while Matt Olson's at the play with two on and nobody out. Craig Schmidtke told the Wall Street Journal that he and his wife Anna bought the property for $275,000 in 2011 and built the home in 4 years using home design software. Now, in Dothan, shouldn't a place like that have one of those peanut statues in the front yard of the Mr. Monopoly character? I think it should. Thank y'all so much for listening. Have a great weekend. We're going to be back here bright and early Monday morning. Until then, come by and see what we're doing anytime you want to on the World Wide Web at al.com.